Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 16. I want to read this over and over again, and I want you to meditate on it. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Father, we praise you, for you are a good, good Father. You're the greatest Father, and we acknowledge that, not only for who you are, but what you do. Holy Spirit, we ask for your inspiration to teach us today. Help me, Lord, to just get myself out of the way and just surrender to you, Holy Spirit, that you would just flow through me and speak your word through me. Teach us. Teach me, even as I speak. And let all the blessings of your word enrich us. For the glory of the Father, and through Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Psalms. The songs of Jesus. And when we read them, I hope more and more we will see that they were written by Him through His inspiration. And He wrote them about Himself. And you can look in the Gospels and you see Him quoting them. You see Him walking in those Scriptures, fulfilling them. They're about Him. They're for Him and for His glory. And they're to us. So that the Word of God can richly dwell in us. This is a very, very important book. In fact, it is so important that it became the hymn book of Old Testament Israel. And it looked forward to the saints singing them today. Martin Luther thought it was so great that he called it a mini Bible. When he was looking into salvation, and he was looking into salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, he would look at Psalms such as Psalm 32. And he read, you know what it says there? Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not count his iniquities against him. And he then read in Romans and Galatians. He said, that's justification. God doesn't count our sins against us, and we're blessed because of it. So you see the gospel being preached right there. One of the ancient church fathers, Ananias, said this, whatever your particular need or trouble may be, from this same book that is the Psalms, you can select a form of words to fit it. Whatever situation you're in, there's a psalm for it. Learn the way to the remedy of whatever ails you. It is like a medicine chest for the soul. Whatever your situation is, the psalms also do something else. They help us glorify God. You know how? By putting the greatness of God, you will see this in the Psalms. You will see the greatness of God alongside of your problem or your situation. And through that, you can have a correct perspective on the proportion of your problem. And you will see that your problem next to God, as you see God in the Psalms and you see your problem in the Psalms, you say, whoa, wow. God is mighty to save, as we just sang. God can take care of this. This is nothing to God. We truly see that there is no mountain high enough, right? As he's saying it. There is no valley deep enough, right? To keep us from getting to the victory that God has for us. The songs of Jesus are mighty. The Psalms can minister to you. And I don't want you to just read them. I'll talk more about that at the end of the sermon. But as much we have to learn, and we're still in the background. Hope you don't mind background material. So you can understand them when you read them. We talk about genres, right? Genre is simply a type or a collection. We've got rhythm and blues. You've got classical. You got pop. You got lament in the Psalms, right? And you have in the Psalms praise. And you have in the Psalms thanksgiving. Those are genres. And what is a lament? We covered that last week, right? Let's just have a quiz. No. School starts not next week, but the week after, right? A lament, that genre, is a plea to God. It is a cry to God for help. It is even sometimes a complaint. My God, if we saw in Psalm 22, why have you forsaken me? You ever been there where you say, where is God? Or you're in a trial and you say, how long, O Lord, how long? That's in the Psalms. These songs of Jesus touch us where we are. They're for real. And they're not, as the kids say, for the play-play. They're for the real, real. That's what I like about the Psalms. When I read them, I say, this is for real. This is where I am. And God can minister to us through them. So we saw Jesus in the lament. And we saw that in every lament, there's a praise. And it's important to understand the genre because it guides us in what we can expect. Yeah, we're singing the blues now. But at the time we come to the end of this psalm, we're going to be up clapping our hands and praising the Lord. That is how God works with us. He finds us where we are. And then He brings us where He is. He takes us from the valley and sets us on the mountaintop. And I speak figuratively of the situations we're in life. Have you ever been on a mountaintop experience where everything is going really great for you and then suddenly the bottom drops out? I've been there. And then I cry, Lord, help! And you know, sometimes in our laments, God uses that to bring us closer to Jesus. And we turn to Him for help. And then our sorrow is brought to joy and singing. Right? In the dark soul of the night comes the morning where we sing joy. That's the genre of lament. Today, though, we're going to move on to praise. We're going to look at the second genre, praise. What is praise? You know, people say, praise the Lord. What is praise? I believe praise is bragging. You say bragging? Bragging about who? Yourself? Oh, look what I've done. No. I think praise is boasting. Boasting in what? I believe that praise is boasting about the Lord. I think praise is bragging about how great He is. Remember when we were last in Galatians and finishing that up, when Paul said, I will boast about nothing else but the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, Psalms is an expansion of that, of boasting and bragging about Jesus Christ. That is what is meant by praise the Lord. It's boasting on Him. And so therefore my message is an action message for you today. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ in every situation you are in. Brag on Him. Boast on Him. And you will see that He is bigger than your problems. He's greater than your situation. That He is indeed mighty to save. Boast on not just what He does in saving us. Boast on who He is. And we're going to give an example at the end of this message about that. Boast and brag that He is the Creator, that He is the sustainer of all that He creates, and that He is the Savior or the Redeemer of them. He is Creator, Sustainer, and Savior. You are a creature. You say, oh, Pastor, that doesn't sound too nice. I'm not talking that you're a grasshopper or a cricket. That's a creature. But we're all creatures of God, but you've been created in His very image. And we're created and we were made to praise Him. You were created to glorify God and to glorify in Him forever and to enjoy Him. What we enjoy, we brag about. Whether you've got a new video game or a new phone or this new song, what do you do about it? You boast about, well, this is the greatest game I've ever seen. This is the greatest piece of music I've ever heard. Well, there's none greater than the Creator God. And to boast in Him and to glorify Him is why we were created. You really get that? What I mean is, when you're doing what you were made to do, you are fulfilled, you're happy. God is giving you gifts and talents. Some of you know what your gifts and talents are, and some of you do them. And what you do and what you enjoy is probably one of your gifts and talents. And you seem so happy when you do that, don't you? Oh, it's not work. Oh, I enjoy this. You were made to glorify God, to boast in Him, even in the particular gifting you have. It is not just for you to stand back and say, oh, look what I've done. Look what I've created. Look what I've made. Look what I've accomplished. But to boast in God who created you with those gifts and talents. And when you do that, there is a greater fulfillment than just you taking credit for it. You are boasting in God. You were created to glorify Him. I want to show you that in the book of Romans. I want to show you it in Romans 1 from the point of view of a perversion of the sinful nature to show that is exactly what people do not do. And this is the result of the sinful, corrupted nature. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 12, God speaks of man when he was created. He says this. Well, in fact, let's begin in verse 20. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood by what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You can look at the universe. You can look at nature and its intricacy. And you know that there's a God. And that He's powerful and wonderful and glorious. Verse 21 of Romans 1. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him, they didn't praise Him, as God, nor gave thanks to Him. That's a part of praise, one of the genres. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Why? Because they didn't praise Him. They didn't acknowledge Him. They weren't doing what they were created to do. And when you don't do that, your mind gets messed up. It becomes corrupted. And notice this. Therefore, God gave them over, in verse 24, to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity and degrading their bodies with one another. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served. I'm going to stop there. You were created to worship and to serve God. That's why you were made. And God made everything to show how wonderful He is. When He created everything, He stood back and He looked at everything and He said, this is very good. You say, how vain God is. He is very good. He is excellent. And He does everything excellently. When there was nothing, He decided to create everything to show, and in particular, in those He would call His glory. That the whole universe would be created to show how wonderful God is. And the most important thing that He created and gloried in was us. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He was praising God. That's in the Psalms. You ever praise God for your body? Instead of saying, you know, I'm pretty good. Look how handsome I am. Look how beautiful I am. Huh? You say, thank you, God, for making me look like this. You say, well, but I wish I looked like that other person. No, praise God for making you look like who you are. And it's for His glory. Notice this. They exchanged the truth of God, verse 25, for a lie, and worshiped and served created things. We brag about and boast about created things. rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen, he says. We boast about created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. What about you? I mean, this is like, they say, gut check, heart check time. Do I brag about stuff I've got or stuff I've made and what I do, or other created things like other people? I get that in a moment. More than God. This is what praise is. It is boasting and bragging about God, who He is and what He's done as Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer. Praise in action. I want to talk about that for a moment. When you say praise the Lord, that's my action point for you today. That you actively, in everything you do, praise the Lord. What does that mean? First of all, it's an exclamation. You know what an exclamation point is? Right? It doesn't say, oh great, period. Or oh great, come. Oh great! Exclamation point. You know that long thing with a period at the bottom of it? Right? Praise or praise the Lord is an exclamation. It's something you exclaim. It is something you speak. It's something you confess. Something you acknowledge. And let me tell you something. That praise is not full until you express it. You say, just praise the Lord in my mind. Just praise God. Just praise God in my mind. I don't have to speak. Just praise Him in my mind, in my head. You know, I'm not that kind of person that's very expressive. Praise. Like the thunder that we may hear later. And the lightning. You know, God's very flashy, isn't He? You see those flashes of lightning? I was over to someone's house yesterday, some of the grandkids, and whoop, and everybody ducked. My daughter grabbed me. Yo, Daddy. That's God. God's flashy. God's flamboyant. God is glorious. Look at the world. He didn't paint everything from a palette of grays and blacks. No, there are reds and blues and yellows and turquoise. God's expressive. We praise God expressively. It's an exclamation in response to seeing Him and seeing what He does. We should praise Him. There was the story of this deacon in the church who, the pastor would get to preaching or the choir get to sing, and he'd just jump up and start praising. He said, praise God, praise God. And the members start complaining about him. So they sent out the pastor to talk to him. So you got to settle this guy down. He's just being outrageous with all his praising God. So the pastor went over and talked to him and says, you know, you got to kind of, you know, back it off a little bit. You've got to, guess, you know, you're disrupting services with your praise and da 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 da. You know what he said? As he was out there farming behind his mule, he said, pastor, will you hold my mule? The pastor said, okay. And then he said, oh, praise God. He just started jumping up down and praising the Lord. Why? Because it was who He was. You were created to be a praiser. You are a spiritual Jew. You know what Judah means? Praise. Praise. Scripture says, it is not those in Romans who are Jews outwardly, but those who are inwardly. So if you got to get somebody to hold your mule or park your car while you praise the Lord, do it. You can praise God. You were created to praise. It's an exclamation, but it's something else too. You ever have people come up to you and say, praise the Lord, right? You see them on TV saying, praise the Lord. And then you say, what do you say? Huh? What do you say? You say, praise the Lord, right? You say it back. Is that what it means? It is an exclamation to a response to something. It's not just say, praise the Lord, and you say, praise the Lord. It is not only an exclamation. Secondly, praise is a command. It is a command. Praise the Lord is also a command. And most of the time, in the book of Psalms, it is a command. Just like if I ask you, open the door. You don't say back to me, open the door. Right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, praise the Lord. Most of the time in the Psalms, when it says, praise the Lord, it is a command for you to do what? Praise the Lord. It's not to ask me to praise the Lord, because I ask you to praise, open the door, open the door. Praise the Lord. Praise is a command by God to acknowledge who He is and to confess it and express it of who He is and what He does. And the incredible, perfect, brilliant way that He does it. Creator, sustainer, deliverer. This example is you can look it up later in Nehemiah chapter 9 to show you that it is a command when you say praise the Lord, depending on the context. Sometimes it's an exclamation, but it always involves action. In Nehemiah 9, verses 5 through 7, it says the Levites, Nehemiah 9, 5, they told the people, stand up and praise the Lord. The people didn't say back to the priest, stand up and praise the Lord. It says they stood up, and it says, and they blessed, they said, blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all the blessings and praise. You alone, O Lord, they're praising for who he is and what he's done. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and they just go on and on and on. You're the Lord who chose Abraham. On and on they go. Verse 9. You saw the sufferings of our forefathers in Egypt, and you heard their cry at the Red Sea, and you sent miraculous signs and wonders to deliver them from Pharaoh. Great is the Lord. That's why we sang before this sermon. He's mighty to save. It's a command. If you read a command in the Bible, you got to get up and do something. Get up off of your feet and praise the Lord. Amen? Isn't that what he's talking about? Listen. Listen to me. You got to tell somebody. We had a wonderful testimony from Dennis about how God used him on his job, where his boss noticed him, there's something different about him, and how he's handling pressure. And he was able to tell him why. That's praising God. That's glorifying God. It is boasting in the Lord. It's bragging. We live in a world of superheroes, right? And superstars. We've got Spider-Man. We got Superman, right? Who else we have? Batman. One of my little grandkids was over one day, and he had on his Batman costume. And I said, well, who is the greatest superhero? Is it Batman? I see you all dressed as Batman. He said, uh-uh. Really? I said, then who is the greatest superhero? And he said, the Hulk. The Incredible Hulk, because the Hulk can beat up Batman. Nobody can beat up the Hulk. And I thought about it, that's right, all the things I've seen, you know, the Avengers and so forth. I like that scene in the Avengers where the Hulk takes, Hulk, Loki says, I'm a god. Hulk grabs him,
boom, 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 slapping him on the ground. Boom. You know what he says? Puny God. Puny God. So my little grandson was bragging and boasting on the Incredible Hulk. Right? He was what? Praising the Hulk. Well, there's a superhero, our Savior, with truly an S on his chest. He's mightier than all. He created all. He can whoop all. Open up that can on them. Right? There's none like him. We ought to, if we can praise the Incredible Hulk or whoever, why can't we express it? He was making a confession that that was his hero. Who's your hero? Is it Jesus Christ? Do you praise him for who he is and what he does? We got super, not only superheroes, we've got superstars, right? So we were playing basketball a few weeks ago and so forth. And who is the greatest basketball player? Who is the MVP of the 2016 NBA championship? Steph? No, LeBron. LeBron, right? King James. And people brag and boast about, man, did you see the way he just took over the game? He just took it to the hoop. Oh, LeBron, whoa, hallelujah. LeBron, and that's another name in Hebrew for praise the Lord, is hallelujah or hallelujah. Oh, people were saying hallelujah to LeBron, right? Because they were bragging about him. They were boasting about him. Right? They even give offerings to LeBron. You know that? People go to church, they don't get no offering. They go to LeBron, they go pay $100, $200, right? $1,000 to sit there and see him, right? Some of them do, right? Okay, some of them do. Right? They identify with him, right? They clothe themselves in him, their Lord. They clothe themselves in their Lord, right? They buy his jerseys, right? They put on his shoes and will fight over them, and some will steal and kill for them. Oh, they praise LeBron. And they wear their what? And they brag and what? And they show their what? Their Jordans, right? How much better? Oh man, $200, right? Because they want to be like Mike. At least dress like him, all right? And Mike's just praising the Lord for them. As those big bucks come rolling in, millions and millions from his worshipers. Is it making sense what praise is? And not only that, they want to be like Mike. They want to be like LeBron. Do you want to be like your Lord and Savior? Do you want to be like him? You can't be. I don't care how many of his shoes you buy, you can't play like him. I don't care how many times you wear his dress, you cannot. But I'm telling you something. All the praise and the glory goes unto God. And God, one of the reasons why he wants us to praise him is to acknowledge him, because he wants us to be like him. He wants us to love like him. He wants us to be merciful and compassionate like him. Who you praise, who you admire, who you worship, you start trying to act like him. This is revealed in 2 Corinthians. See, praise has a transformative quality. I'll have to preach about that because my time is just about gone. I want to give a whole sermon on how the Psalms can transform you to the image of Jesus. But look at this. And I'll just turn there for time's sake. You don't have to turn. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, And verse 18, it says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. All start looking like the Lord, acting like the Lord. When I say looking, I'm not talking physically. I'm talking about spiritually, in the way you act, in the way you perform. And it's an internal thing of the Holy Spirit in you. See, LeBron can't get in you, but through faith, Jesus comes to live in us. And as we behold His glory, and His glory is expressed in the Psalms. I told you the Psalms were inspired by Him. They are about Him. They are for Him. We see Him in the Psalms. And as we read the Psalms, as we sing the Psalms, as we recite them, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. So we glorify God so that we can be like Him. Not that you will become God, but like Him in His character, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us. May the words and the Psalms dwell, the words of Christ dwell in you. Let's give an example quickly and close this out of a praise song. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I said it's a command, it's an exclamation. Let's look at this psalm, Psalm 103, and you'll see it is a command to do something. Psalm 103 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah in the Hebrew. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Here he's giving the command to himself. And sometimes you may be down, you may be not feeling like praise. Sometimes you gotta say, you better get up and praise the Lord. O my soul. Right? He's saying to himself, this is written by David. David said to himself, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise involves the total person. Your emotions, your mind, your body. That's why, and I'm going to say this again, the Psalms should be either sung. I can't sing very well, so I recite. I read them aloud. And some of them we sing because there's music we put to them. It should involve your reading. And when you read out loud, when you recite, it involves your brain, your body, your mouth is moving. My inmost being, from my heart, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. See the command? And notice then, in verse 3, he begins to list the benefits. He lists the things that God does. Remember, praise is what God does and who he is. So he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Blah, blah, blah. It keeps going on and on and on. And all the things he does all the way through verse 7. His deeds to the people of Israel. Now, verse 8, after reciting, after singing, all that God does for us, he talks about who God is. Verse 8 of Psalm 103, the Lord is compassionate. You see, all these blessings that come from the Lord come from who he is. He is compassionate and he's gracious. He will not always accuse nor harbor anger forever. He doesn't treat us. Look at what kind of person he is. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has removed our transgressions from us. This is the gospel. If you do not believe in Christ your Savior, trust him. And your sins will be forgiven from as far as the east is from the west. He's compassionate. Verse 13, as the father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we're formed. He remembers we're but dust. So he tells us how he is. This is praise to God for what he does and who he is. And it starts out with a command, praise the Lord. My fellow praisers, my fellow worshipers, let us brag and boast in the Lord. Let us pray the Psalms. Many times and every night,
I read the Psalms before I go to bed. And sometimes in the morning I read them. Sometimes on my knees I pray them. I put my prayers inside the Psalms. And I put the Psalms inside my prayers. I identify where I am with a particular words. And I hear the voice of Jesus singing to me, speaking to me. It's personal. I pray them. I encourage you to pray them and to put your prayers in them. I encourage you to sing them. We're going to sing a song in a little bit based on the psalm I just quoted, Psalm 103. Sing to Jesus. Sing hallelujah to Him. Recite them. Just as I read those verses to you, don't read quietly. You say, but I don't like reading aloud. If you have to close up in your bathroom, in your closet, so no one will hear you sing or read, read them out loud. Read them out loud and you will see how they will transform you, how your thoughts would become the thoughts of God's Word. So let us do what? Let us boast. Let us brag. Let us praise the Lord. And that's a command. Father, we thank You for the command You've given us to praise You at the exclamation of how great and wonderful You are. Father, forgive us for simply praising and worshiping created things, even our own selves, more than You. Let worship, let praise become a lifestyle for us. And we can't do this by human effort. We need You to change our hearts. We need You, if we are saved, to stir our hearts and turn them towards You. And it'll make all the difference in the world, for You live in us and You praise through us. Jesus, praise the Father through us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.